Rural Focus.
Hello there to you, and welcome to another Rural Focus podcast. It is Dr. William, and yeah, hopefully your day going along nicely. Now, coming up on today's podcast, we're going to catch in with Matt Dalgleish. Matt, one of the directors at Episode 3. You may have heard or seen during the week. He's done a bit of report on the WA sheep turnoff figures for 2022. Where are WA sheep farmers going to send them? Still live sheep exports overreached? We'll find out from Matt very soon this morning. But something that was interesting that did pass the desk came from Rabobank with new data out showing that we're drinking less dairy than we did a decade ago. Nearly fell off my chair. But anyway, it looks like I might just have to add some more milk to the morning cuppa. But anyway, to find out more about it from Rabobank, here's what analyst Michael Harvey had to say about it.
We have seen retail prices for white milk increasing at a fairly significant rate. Clearly, food inflation is a global issue. Dairy inflation is part of the food inflation story that we're seeing locally and globally. We've had record high farm gate pricing here in Australia, really on the back of a very strong commodity market through 2022. And what we've obviously seen play out from then is the dairy companies needing to pass through some of that higher cost of milk, but also higher cost of processing products to get it to consumer being passed through. And that's why we've had record levels of inflation coming through on the dairy aisle, particularly around cheese and white milk. Now, that's challenging for consumers, but that's really just about improving the margins and restoring margins in the value chain for Australia. And moving forward, you know, with those higher, more sticky price points for consumer products for dairy, that will provide a bit more stability in market returns for the industry, which will be a good thing. But we know that consumers are obviously paying a bit more for dairy.
Rabobank's dairy analyst Michael Harvey there. And yes, it looks like, our favourite cheeses, yogurts, butter and cream. It looks like we might be paying some more for those very soon as well. Hello there to you. It is Troy Stockton aboard. Yes, we are bringing you the Rural Focus podcast. Wherever you're listening to us, whether you're in WA or you're interstate or listening to us internationally, hopefully you're having a wonderful day today.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time right now to catch up with one of the directors at Episode 3, Matt Dalgleish. Just join us right now, chatting to Matt about WA's sheep turnoff figures for 2022. And, well, Matt's put some figures out just to show how important it's going to be getting the processing sector running smoothly, especially if the live export trade is phased out. As we know, the federal Labor government plans on doing this in around a couple of years' time. Matt, hello there to you. What's the latest that you can tell us on what you've done?
Yeah, just looking at what the options are nowadays for the West Australian sheep producer in terms of sheep turnoff. obviously, with the slow decline in the live export trade and what the Labor government are intending to do in the next few years. You know, just looking to see where that situation sits in terms of how many are going or how many went last year to domestic processing, to live ex, and how many came east.
So what you did it in what, three sort of, there are three options here, slaughter locally, sent east, or sent via the live export.
Yep, that's right. That's pretty much the options if you're turning off your sheep.
Matt, doing this, was there any evidence of farmers, say, turning away or starting to turn away from the live trade?
Yeah, I think there has been there have been farmers I'm aware of that have decided to change their enterprise mix and push, you know, certainly those mixed farms have decided to just go all grain or to change their livestock mix, you know, maybe introduce some cattle if their situation allows it in terms of where they're situated, or go 100% cattle as livestock and not have sheep at all. So, yeah, we have heard that, but looking at the actual breakdown of numbers has not really been an assessment of any clear trend. But with the direction from the AAPU now, again, focusing in very, very, with a lot of certainty that they're going to proceed down this path of shutting the trade, it will be interesting to see if we start to see that trend developing now or progressing faster.
Last year, the proportion of the WA sheep turnoff was processed locally around just over 80%, the highest it's been on record. I suppose now it's probably dropped a little bit, has it?
So these figures were to the end of 2022.
Yep.
Processing levels so far this year, whether it's East State or Western States, are still high. We have been increasing our slaughter levels in line with the flock going up. So I suspect, and given, you know, that there again hasn't been a lot of animals going east and also not many going live ex, I would suspect that those numbers are probably still pretty static in terms of the proportions for the first few months of this year. The processing sector in WA has been mirroring what's happened in the eastern states, which is higher slaughter levels than we've seen, you know, the last 2 years, and that's in line with the flock growing and more animals available for slaughter.
By doing this and with the so-called planned phase out of the live trade, reading between the lines, mate, what are your thoughts?
Oh, look, it's, you know, it has been a kind of steady decline, I guess, yeah, of the live trade in terms of proportions. If you look back to before the moratorium, so the moratorium came in 2018, which cuts out, you know, 3 to 4 months of the year to be able to send animals. So about 30% to 40%, depending upon the season, was available for turn off for the West Australian producer into LiveX. Yeah, 30% to 40% went LiveX prior to the moratorium. The first 2 years of the moratorium, 2018, 2019, that dropped to about 20% of turn off because those 3 months, 4 months unavailable. So that reduced some of the volumes. And then subsequent to that, obviously the continued extension of the moratorium and now the language being used from the Labor government around the prospect of the trade being phased out into the next electoral cycle. I think that's seen continued kind of exit from the sector and continued reduction in people using live export as an option.
So going forward, mate, where can our WA producers, where are they looking to send them? Is it still the live exports?
Look, as it stands now, with this panel that's been announced, that's reporting to Minister Watt in September. So there's an expert panel to look at how they are going to phase this out, and so they're still pursuing this phase out of the live trade. Anyone that's in the game, I think, is hopeful that may change, but it's not looking promising at the moment. With the phase out impending or looming, I think people will have to start making decisions around how they structure their enterprise in terms of being able to turn off. And part of that means that the supply chain, particularly in WA, needs to be supported extensively. I'm talking the processing side. If you're going to take away an integral part of the system in terms of LiveX, you need to make sure that the capacity will be there in WA to process locally. And that's obviously infrastructure, plant capacity, but also labour force. You need to be able to make sure that when those big flows of animals are coming and there's no live export buyer to take them, you've got to be able to do it domestically because you can't rely every season on them going east.
Interesting times ahead, as they say in the biz, mate.
That's it. Yeah, no, correct.
And a big thank you to Matt Dalgleish from Episode 3 for joining us on the Rural Focus podcast. It is Troy Aborden for many growers, especially over here in WA. Replenishing the nitrogen supply will play a key role in maintaining productivity after a few pretty good seasons. And I'm sure WA farmers have checked in with their agronomist. If not, I'm sure they'll be doing that maybe later on today, maybe tomorrow, maybe very, very soon. But yeah, fertiliser decisions are critical after a couple of big seasons here in WA. Looks like the urea price is starting to drop a little bit, the availability for our farmers. And what are the rates and what are the risks? As you know, nitrogen decisions are based on the law of diminishing return. So I'm sure farmers, not just here in WA, but right across Australia, sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's with that. Hey, that is it for today's Rural Focus podcast. Hey, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. And don't forget, too, if you missed anything from the WA version of Rural Focus, you can catch it up right here on the Listener app. Of course, WA Rail Safety Advocates, well, they say that they're happy with some lighting trials that have been done here in WA, but they say much, much more still needs to be done. And still with the live export ban, we did catch up with the Federal Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, who made his way to Wagen over here in WA, the Wagen Woolloorama. Where does Peter Dutton stand going forward on the live export ban? You can catch that up also right here on the Listener app on Rural Focus. Hey, thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to having you company again very soon.